Next, we have Lifehouse Church. The door is open. Amen. So I want to continue with what I started last week and then aborted. We had some divine interruption, so I changed the subject kind of last minute. But today I'm going to get to three. It's actually four. We've been in a series called Battle Ready. And you can throw up that slide number one there, Battle Ready. And this is what we're doing. This is what's happening. Today's title is Walking in the Power of the Holy Spirit. So really, just for an introduction, we know that life today is not neutral. We don't just drift into strength. You don't become strong or become effective by drifting into something. We want to avoid the drift and be intentional. So we don't passively become strong, and we certainly don't win spiritual battles with natural tools. That's why we must learn to be battle ready. But really the question is, ready for what? What do we need to be battle ready for? First off, to be battle ready to walk in the Spirit and learn about that. And that's kind of where we're going to be focusing on, because the Spirit of God that's in you is greater than the pressure and then the forces around you. Can you say that? The Spirit of God in me is greater than the pressure and the forces that are around me. Do you believe that? It's absolutely true, isn't it? So today, this language of battle ready, I don't want it to be just a gimmick or just some kind of cliche, clever title. I want to be sincere, and am sincere about where we're going with this. It's not just learning how to do Christian things, but it's really learning how to connect with the Spirit of God, because we can't do anything on our own. And when we try, it usually becomes laborious and we end up being empty of real life and effectiveness, just going through the motions. And we really don't want to do that or be that. So this reality is really to be Holy Spirit powered resilience, Holy Spirit powered freedom, and Holy Spirit powered freedom rooted into the kingdom of God. As you can see, our thesis in this slide is the Holy Spirit empowers us to live in the tension of the now and the not yet, walking in freedom, authority, and victory, even in a world that's still being redeemed. We live in the tension. The church was birthed. I'm going to trip over that, land on my face. That'll be really funny, though, wouldn't it? I'm sure. We live in this concept called the tension. I've been talking about this for a few weeks, really, this idea and more intentional communication about the kingdom of God. Why? Because that's primarily what Jesus talked about when he was here. He spoke mostly about the kingdom of God. He talked about a lot of things, really, but the kingdom of God was something over and over and over again. And what he said about the kingdom of God is things like this: the kingdom of God is here. And he was talking about in him. See, Jesus was the reality of heaven, broke through the powers of this present evil age, and he dwelt among us. So really, heaven came near in Christ. So he brought the power, the presence of God the Father of heaven into our earthly realm. But when he came, he didn't destroy all of the enemy's agenda. What he did is he broke in and gave us an opportunity to have choice. So you don't need to live under Satan's policies of sin, sickness, and death. You can be free in Christ because of the presence of the kingdom of God. But isn't it a trip? The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is here, but yet sometimes I don't feel victorious. At other times, there's a triumphant reality to what we're doing and what we're experiencing, but just in moments later, I feel kind of weak again, a little sissy-ish. It's amazing. We are this glorious contradiction as humans. We have the presence of God, but yet in moments I'm struggling. Paul talked about this, the spirit and the flesh, they war against each other. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, right? Old things are past, all things have become new. But yet, Pastor, I need help. Will you pray for me? I'm struggling. Those are real. There's no condemnation because of it, but we live in this contradiction. We live in this reality. So there's a tension between the now, which is our current reality, and the not yet, what Jesus promised would come in fullness. But that's not here yet. But he does break in and break through. And that's what we call kingdom inbreakings, where the kingdom of God breaks in to our reality. He doesn't destroy all of the enemy, but he gives us power to walk in victory over that. Does that make sense to you? Can you shout about that? Do something, clap. It's good news. It's good news. It's like Jesus showed up and said, hey, there's a new sheriff in town. No longer do you have to stay where you're at. You have freedom to walk through and to walk out of that. And the first concept and point I want to bring to you is this. The Spirit frees us from condemnation to live empowered. That's our next slide there. The Spirit frees us to live free from condemnation. Listen to this. In Romans chapter 8, it says this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you have a different translation like King James, it's going to say something. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. It's like there's a caveat. You can be in Christ and still blow it. Paul changed all that up. He's not communicating that. The history and people communicate that terminology was from a Byzantine era, and that language shouldn't be present right there. But that whole concept in New King James or NASB, you'll find that, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, period. How many of your Bibles, I'm sure you all got them open, right? Let me wait for you to get it open. I'm kidding, no pressure, not too much, just a little bit. Can I just a little bit? Does anybody have a Bible anymore? There we go. I'm bringing mine now because somebody said I should start bringing one and reading from my Bible. So I'm ahead of the game as for about a week now. I'm kidding. I'm just trying to find something to be playful about. The idea of condemnation is the Greek word katakrema, and it's the idea of a verdict that's been spoken. It's you're guilty. You go to court, you see a judge, and a judge condemns you. You're guilty. You're busted. So you are condemned to fulfill this consequence, this sentence. Paul is saying there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So you're in a place of justification, or you're in a place of forgiveness. It's a completely different spot. It's like you're here operating out of this reality and this identity of the Spirit. And he's saying, if you're in Christ, you're not here anymore. You literally been moved into a different baseline. Your identity is a place of freedom now. That's what Paul is communicating. It's not a place of condemnation, and you're trying to work to get yourself better. You're trying to obey yourself to be righteous. You're trying to act better and do better, be nicer, so you can become not condemned. It's not a thing of feeling. It's a legal terminology that says you've been moved, translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. Does that make sense to you? Is anybody alive here? I'm feeling a little feisty. You're going to have to preach with me. You're going to have to help me, okay? So the thing is this, you don't earn freedom. We obey because we're already free. You don't earn it and try to get it. So we're not obeying to get it. If I just acted better, if I just prayed more, If I just went through the motions, I got to do 4 more Bible studies this week, and I'm going to get my badge. No, 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 no. You're not condemned. You're not in that spot no more. Do you understand? You're in this place. You're in Christ. Therefore, you have a different position. So the idea is start living out of this new identity. So obedience comes from your identity, not from your behavior. Did you catch that? Our identity in Christ is what establishes our ability to walk in the Spirit, not our behavior. Our spiritual weaponry is not natural. It's spiritual. It comes from our spirit. See, when we receive Jesus, he came and transformed our once dead spirit and brought life to us. So now we operate from a baseline of life, not a baseline of death. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And as a result, you walk in the Spirit. It's not performance, it's position, it's identity. The reality is, if you don't believe you're free, you're going to live like a slave. Jesus' kingdom teaching changes our identity. You're not a victim of the world, you're a victor in Christ. Tension is this glorious contradiction of the now, our present reality, and the not yet, this promise of fulfillment. When the Holy Spirit came, and every time the Holy Spirit comes, that's why we want him to come. That's why we give him space. That's why the worship team just kind of loses the known road and travels off into this realm. That's why we wait on God and give him an opportunity to speak. Why? Because when the Holy Spirit comes, he brings the power of the ages to come into our now. He breaks into our reality. When he breaks into our reality, people get healed. Amen? People get set free. People get convicted. And they go, I don't like to hang out there no more. That's a little too much pressure. He wants me to bring my Bible. My sense of humor is going to come and go. Sometimes you'll laugh, sometimes you won't. I'm just throwing them out there and see if it's going to work, right? I'm not really a funny guy. I'm sarcastic, and I'm working on that. But we'll get through this together, I promise. We are triumphant and groaning, awaiting what we're going to become like. Because the Bible says, as we see Jesus as he really is, we become like him. So isn't that cool? We invite him to come. And if he comes and we see him as he is, we get transformed in the now. And especially when he returns in fullness, we're getting transformed and getting changed. Isn't that good news? We're new creatures that war against the flesh. You can see this contradiction over and over. And when you go to that point and say that, I'm just struggling, and we focus on the struggle, like what I was mentioning earlier, our strongest thought leads the direction of our life. So what's the strongest thought you have? Because that's the direction your life is going to go in. That's more of a defeatist mentality. That's more of the now. We're focused on the now and not focused enough on the not yet. There's the other side of the coin over here where we're all focused about the not yet. I'm free. There's no problem. I'm no longer an addict. I'm no longer this. I have no anger. I'm sin free. Woo! How real is that? It's a cool confession. It sounds good at parties. Makes you look good in the moment, but the reality is it's too much. It's an extreme. We live in the now. And Jesus breaks through in the not yet. So it's this tension we live with. If anybody tells you there's a formula for this, that's cruel and it's wrong. Any extremes of that side and those things are going to lead to error. We live in this present evil age, and the Holy Spirit breaks in when we call. That's why Jesus wants to have us have an attitude in us of seeking, knocking, and asking, come, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Imagine this. Imagine, in a second, I'll have you pop number five up, okay? Imagine this, a man sitting inside of a jail cell. The door's wide open, but yet he remains seated. Not because he's locked in, but because he doesn't realize he's free. I believe that's how many of us think. We believe in Jesus, but we don't realize that we're free. And we're not exercising faith and taking steps and doing simple things like, I'm not going to think that no more. I'm going to think this. No, I'm not going to think that no more. I'm going to think, no, I'm not. You understand? It's a fight. You know how many times I have to say no to my stinking thinking? About 150 times or 1,000 a day. Does anybody else have that problem? Three of you, that's really cool. Again, I told you I was sarcastic. Forgive me, Chris. There'll be more, I promise. Just being playful. It's an intentional. The mindset on the spirit is life and peace. The mindset on the flesh is death and chaos. It's much of it is learning how to believe and sit in that place that Christ has called us to. It's learning to walk in the identity that God's called you to. It's already yours for the taking. It's just learning how to walk in it and not doing what you've always done. Because if you do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. We've got to change that equation. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to do this differently now. I'm going to change up. Let's show that image, would you please? I believe this is the idea. This is how many live. We have this idea, but there's a cell wide open. Consider this, released but not free. Many people leave prison, but this is real stats, but still feel stuck in their minds, in their emotions, or daily life. Over 67% are rearrested within 3 years. 1 in 4 struggle with housing, work, or mental health. Some feel so used to captivity that freedom feels scary. Freedom declared doesn't always mean freedom lived. Have you ever seen that movie, Shawshank Redemption? Anybody?
Yes.
One of the characters in there, the older man, I always like him in other movies too. I can't remember his name, but anyways, that guy finally gets out. He gets free, and he gets a little apartment, and he ends up killing himself in that apartment. He's free, but he can't live that way. Did you know, the children of Israel were held captive in Egypt for over 400 years, like 430. And when they got out, when they finally got delivered and rescued and Moses brought them out, it took 40 years of them wandering in the wilderness, complaining that they wanted to go back and eat leeks and onions. And said that, Moses, you brought us out here to die. The transition of getting free is real. You're never going to drift into strength. Do you hear me? You're never going to drift. You're not just going to attend your way into freedom. You're never just going to Bible study your way into freedom. I'm not knocking Bible study. It's absolutely paramount. And you understand that. This is the word of God we operate from. But it's learning to ingest it and get it into your life and to live it along with the spirit that we connect with. Ephesians 6:10, it says this. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so you will be able to resist the schemes of the enemy. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in your identity. That position that you received from your the first time you believed, when you were justified. See, when you believed Christ and you said, I believe in Jesus and I want to accept him into my heart. What happened immediately was you were justified. All you did was believe in faith and then you're justified. You're now moved from this position to this position. You're accepted. What happens next is this process of sanctification, this process of growing in faith, this process of moving from glory to glory. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. We grow in truth. We grow up spiritually. If we don't change, and if we say we're free and we don't express and apply these principles, then we're deceiving ourselves. We've got to engage. We've got to fight for strength, fight for freedom. This is the reality of learning to walk in the Spirit. It's not just external activities, so we look shiny on the outside. Behavior is good, but not if we prioritize it or it supersedes character. If somebody says, what is the evidence of the Holy Spirit? How do you know if you've got the Holy Spirit? Some in the past have said it's knowing you got the Holy Spirit. The evidence, the primary evidence, is speaking in tongues. I don't believe that's true. I believe that's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, but it's fruit, character change and transformation, power, the ability to walk in power and express healing and ministry and love and kindness of the Holy Spirit, fruit, power, and purpose. I'm here to bring the kingdom where I go. Amen. Fruit, power, and purpose. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. How fruitful are you? How much power are you encountering and or giving away? Do you know the purpose that God's called you to? These are all challenging questions I want to pose and leave you with, is walking in that reality. But we do that by being strong in the Lord. And strength comes from our identity. But so that concept of freedom is just the starting point. But freedom and walking in the Spirit doesn't just stop there. Holy Spirit wants to lead us into our life. Point number two is this. The Spirit teaches us to walk differently. The Spirit teaches us to walk differently. Consider this. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. It says this. But I say to you, walk in the Spirit. But what's that? What's that even mean? Walk in the Spirit, and you will carry out, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Doug, I want to do that. I want to live free. I don't want to do what I often do at times. I don't want to do that no more. I want to be free from that. How do I do that? Well, walk in the Spirit. Okay, I get that. But what does that even mean? How do I walk in the Spirit? First, we got to know our identity. Know who you are in Christ. And sit in that. If you want to know me, or if I want to know you, Chris, I got to hang out with you, don't I? We got to hang out, don't we? That's a real thing. If I want to know who you are, I want to spend time with you. And vice versa, I want to know what you like, what you struggle with, and I want to be vulnerable with you. I want to care for you, understand where you come from. I want to know your story. And as I begin to do that, and if in this situation of Christ, we value who he is. We believe that he's the Son of God. We believe that he has the answers. We believe that the kingdom is in him. And he's inviting us to a place of depth and fulfillment and life. So we draw close and we get to know who he is. We get to know what he's doing. We get to know his presence when he comes and when he goes. There's sometimes, and I'd like to see it increase more often. There's sometimes I know he's here. There's sometimes I know he's present. I sense he's here. It's like this morning. Sense he's here. And my thought is, will you come a little more? Will you come a little closer? Is today the day? Are you going to break in significantly today? And we're going to see some kind of sign or wonder? I'm always looking for that. I love Jesus' presence, whatever he brings. I'm good with it. But I like it when deliverance happens, when freedom comes, when we get launched into another place. I woke up two nights ago at 2 a.m. from some dream. And I couldn't make sense of the dream. There was no cognitive, I couldn't put sentences down. I couldn't describe it. Brenda was asking me about it, and I just I don't know what it was. But it was legit, and it was about some in-time kind of encounter with God's presence. So I got up at 2 a.m, and I just began to study. And I stayed up the rest of the day, and I was so whack tired by the middle of the day. But I couldn't sleep anymore. I'm just stirred. I knew he was there. I knew he was present. I just didn't know what to do with it. So I just lean in, and I start reading what's been on my mind. I start studying what's been in my heart. I don't know where to go, but I want to draw close. And I believe if I draw close, that's the place to be. And what he does is up to him. Yeah. Just lean in. I don't know what you want to do today. I'm just going to lean in. And maybe somebody manifests when you pray for the sick. Maybe somebody gets healed. Maybe you can overcome something that you couldn't overcome before. Maybe your children come to faith. Maybe one of your friends or brothers or somebody that you've been praying for come to faith. But we lean in. We lean in. So Paul is not telling us in this concept of condemnation. Paul is not saying try harder to not sin. He's saying let's live out of your spirit-filled identity. The command to walk by the Spirit is really a call to walk in the identity you received the moment you believed. Really, that's what we want to call this be kind of attitude, the be attitude. It's rooted in who we are in Christ. Not striving for what you're not. It's not focusing on what you don't have as much as it's focused on what he gave us and where we can position ourselves in him. If we can be content in him, he'll grow all kinds of really good things in us. We'll begin to mature. So walking in the Spirit, it's not really just mystical. It's absolutely practical. Here's a list of 4 things to consider. Surrendering your will. Aligning your thoughts with the Word of God. I'm not going to think that. I'm going to think this. But man, this is far from how I think. I always get provoked by somebody or something. I don't want to react no more. I want to respond with grace and peace. I'm going to think this, not that. I just failed again. Okay, I want to think this, not that. Over and over. We're not living in a place of condemnation. Listening for his promptings. Holy Spirit, what are you doing today? What are you saying to me today? How many of you ask that question when you get out of bed? Lord, what do you want to do today? What do you want to call me to today? What's on the agenda today, Father? Who do you want me to invite to Lifehouse Church? What do you want to do with my life? What should I be reading? And then obey, even when it's not convenient. These are simple things to learning to walk in the Spirit. See, what you believe about the kingdom and his presence in the power of the Spirit is going to determine how you behave in chaos. It's going to determine how you behave in temptation. What we believe today, what you build into your understanding and your faith today is what you're going to act like when it's not so easy. Brenda and I have this phraseology that we use. Let's build in a time of peace. Let's talk it out in a time of peace, not a time of war. Because when we're fighting, it's really hard for her to teach me anything. I'm in my animal brain and I'm escalated and I'm right. I'm not gonna learn nothing in that mode. And of course I'm being sarcastic because Brenda never does that. It's usually me, right, babe? Well, let's see. Here's some practical applications about how to walk in the Spirit. I think I've got a slide up here. point right at Andy's head. Pray first. Ask the Spirit to guide your thoughts, your words, your actions. Pause often. Give him space before you respond. Such a simple thing, sometimes so hard to do. Deposit truth. Be reading scripture. Be looking for something new. Find a book that's realistic with what the Lord's doing in your life. And let it supplement some of the things you're reading in the scriptures. Learn commentaries or whatever. Deposit truth. Stay connected. Be part of an invite community. Be part of a culture like this. A culture where you're relating and you're being accountable. You're connecting with other people. Practical applications of walking in the truth. And this final thought, final point here is this. It's the Spirit of God that's going to anchor us in battle until full victory comes. When we're fighting the good fight and we're establishing truth and trying to walk it out, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to keep us, like Jesus said, occupy until I come. Occupy, hold your ground, hold that spot, stand. When there's nothing else to do but stand, stand in that spot, being completely battle ready. Helmet, chest protector, your shield of faith, you're girding your loins with truth, shodding your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 explains all of that, and we're going to get there in the next couple of weeks and talk about that equipment of being battle ready. But it's the Spirit of God that anchors us. Romans 8:18, it says this. Romans 8:18, consider this with me. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared to the glory that's to be revealed in us. Again, we live in tension. There's so much going on now. We're struggling, we're moving about, trying to figure it out. Many of us here have real struggles, real stories that are difficult. But I want you to know there's a promise of the Spirit. We have hope in Christ because of a promise in the Spirit. And the kingdom of God is available to us today to call and ask for help in time of need, ask for hope, to empower us to overcome and then to be overcomers for other people. We want to be battle ready here at Lifehouse Church so we can invest and impart and equip others as well. It's not just for us. It's for us for a purpose, right? In Acts chapter 1 and 8, I'll close with this. Jesus said, wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to receive power. Power to be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. For you and I, that translate to here local, near, and far. We're going to be examples, equippers of the faith, here, near, and far. Can you stand with me? So a few questions I just want to consider with you. Are you trying to fight a spiritual battle with human strength? Are you exhausted? Are you letting the Spirit lead your thoughts? Do you struggle with fear, frailties? What truth about the kingdom do you need to live out in your life this week? What's something that the Lord wants to minister to you to today? We're going to worship just for a few. You can respond to any of those questions, or if you're here and you need prayer for some physical healing, emotional healing, or anything, we want to pray with you. So we're just going to worship here. While that's happening, feel free to make your way to the front, stay where you're at, receive. But let's give the Lord some space, can we? Holy Spirit, would you come right now? I ask that you would touch every person with this reality to live and to walk in our identity in the Spirit. If there is anyone here that's distant or needs to rededicate your life, use this opportunity to do so. But Jesus, would you come with power, heal us and save us. Call us into freedom tonight, today. We love you, Father. Let's worship for a minute. Thank you.